Tonight on Ham Nation, Chip describes his disaster field day and Deborah gets a new ham shack. Ham Nation's up next.
Ham Nation is brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 464, July 29, 2020. Chip, K7JA, around the world.
Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Ham Nation. I'm George, W5JDX. Bob is not with us this week. Should be back next week. Don is not here either. He's watching, virtually attending his son's college graduation. So he wanted to get in on that tonight, and who could blame him? I've got one or two more I would like to attend their graduation too. But anyway, that's beside the point. We got a fun show lined up for you tonight. Over on the left-hand side, we've got Gordo out in Costa Mesa. Gordo, how's it going out there?
We are fine. And I say we, that's why we're wearing masks. We encourage all of you, let me get my mask properly adjusted. We encourage everybody, anytime you're working with fellow hams, wear that mask. With me is Chip Margelli, K7JA. Hi, Chip.
Hey, Gordo.
And we're going to have a fun time tonight looking at all that can happen at Field Day this past pandemic, things that go right and things that, well, you'll see. Back to you, George.
Okay, Gordo. Well, we can't wait to hear what Chip's got to bring to us here. I'm sure he's got a lot of experience working field operations, and especially challenging, you know, the ones that he works with you. So we've got Amanda coming in a little early tonight since Bob and Don aren't here. We've got an extra seat there just for Amanda. How are things going out in Colorado?
Actually, they're going excellently. Right now is monsoon season, so we get afternoon storms almost every day to help cool us down and put a little bit of moisture down on the ground, which we all love. The only thing we don't like is some of the lightning that comes with it. But other than that, we're doing great here. Back to you, George. Oh, and I'll be taking your questions tonight, by the way. So send them to me in the chat.
Good deal. Yeah. Send them into those questions because we know there's got to be a few out there. And with Chip here, we want to get in as many as we can tonight. Well, we've got a video coming up a little later in the show tonight. Randy was visiting with his local club, and they had a worthwhile project going on there. And he shot some video of that, sent it to us. So we're looking forward to seeing that a little later. Some good tips in there, too. I won't give it away, but one in particular I hadn't thought about, but made a lot of sense. Well, Gordo, what are you and Chip up to tonight?
We are doing just great. And again, these masks are not silly. They are the real thing. And we encourage all of you, whenever you're working with fellow hams, even good buddy like Chip Margelli and Gordo, we always stay masked up. So, Chip, what are we going to look at when it comes to Chip Margelli short shots? Chip?
Well, we're going to we're going to talk about Field Day 2020, which was, I think it's fair to say, it was a field day unlike any that we've ever experienced, times being what they are. And it everybody's experience was different this year, mine included. And I think it's going to be quite the look. It's very different, and we hope that it'll be sort of back to normal next year, Gordo.
There you go. Well, Victor, if you'll go ahead and roll them, and here we go with everything that can happen at Field Day, huh?
Well, you know, Gordo, I've done a lot of field days over the years, and you think that experience would get me prepared for everything. I mean, there are some obvious safety things like don't connect the red to the black and the black to the red. That can have some bad experiences. But every now and then you run into an experience where it never occurred to you that you had to worry about that. Some years ago when we did the DX Caribe cruises in the Caribbean, I brought extra antennas, extra radios, extra coax, lots of connectors, lots of tape, lots of WD-40. I thought I had everything covered, extra bow tie for the tuxedo. And then the ship came in and it didn't have air conditioning. Ooh. And I suddenly realized that I had never planned for what are we going to do if we can't put to sea on this cruise? And this year was something like that. The minute you think that you know what you're doing, you don't. Well, you know, there are obvious things through the years. Folks, it's not a tilt-up mast. It's a push-up mast. It's gonna tell you that it's not a tilt-up mast. And of course, you know better than to have a chili cook-off on field day because of the blazing saddle syndrome. You don't want to do that in a closed enclosure there. But through the years, since I am a field day junkie, I bring a lot of stuff. This is what my front yard typically looks like before it all goes on the car. And of course, most of it actually ends up fitting on the car. The stuff that doesn't gets piled on even further. And this year, it had a rough road to go up, and somehow everything stayed on board. This year, we had a small group of just four of us. We were wondering about how to do a pandemic field day. Obviously, you can't have 50 people under a tent. That's not going to work. So we decided we would gather four people together and end up with four transmitters, as it turned out. So nobody was sitting in close proximity to somebody else. And we decided to go up to Mount Waterman, which is a ski area just north of Mount Wilson in the Los Angeles area. And there I am at the base of the first number one chairlift at the ski area. The top of it is at 8,000 feet, which has a pretty good view over Los Angeles, especially for VHF. Oh, yeah, we worked several hundred guys on 2 meters FM. It's quite the place. So we got up there, and there are a couple of my cohorts, Bob AA6PW on the ground, and Arnie N6 Hotel California up on the roof, and they are working diligently on a two-element 40-meter beam. It's made out of fiberglass fishing poles and wire. And it's a design that we've used for years, and it works very well. And it's very light, as you can imagine, with the fishing poles and wire. And in the wind, the fiberglass just kind of sways and bends and doesn't mind the wind at all, which this year was kind of important. We also had a C3 Force 12 antenna that we've had for many years. That was our standard antenna for 2015 and 10 on the CW side. We come down through a triplexer, and then we can run three radios separately. And we kept a lot of radios on site, and everybody had their own headsets. And so we all made sure that we had all of our AD1Y and AD1I and AD1K Heil adapters so that we could everybody have their own headset and plug into radios without trashing the social distancing aspect of field day, because all of us old timers up there check most of the boxes for things that are people that are likely to get this stuff, and we weren't going to have field day contribute to it. On another mast, a U.S. tower, ALM-31 tower, we had a little three-element long periodic beam there, and on top of that a single element for 40, same design as for the two element beam, two fiberglass fishing poles butt to butt on a piece of angle aluminum. They're 20 footers, and then coming out the ends, the wires come down at a 45 degree angle to make up the remaining of the distance of the 66 feet of the dipole. But this keeps the current the high current area of the dipole horizontal instead of lowering it, as it would be the case with an inverted V. And as you can see, we're really, really good on keeping it horizontal, and it's nice and quiet, so we're doing great. There's Dan, N6MJ, putting on a brave smile on 20 phone. He looks like he's having fun, but it's really extremely slow, lots of absorption during the day. And this is about the last smile late in the afternoon because the smiles went away quickly. 8,000 feet, it gets windy. That nice straight C3 from a while ago, that wasn't just leaning over that way. It was normally vertical on the mast, but that's about a 50-mile-an-hour gust of wind right there. The wind came up late Saturday night and into Sunday morning, sustained at about 40 miles an hour with gusts 55 to 60, and the weather forecast saying it's going to get worse. And that led to catastrophe. Uh-oh. One of my 2 6-meter beams there, a little five-element beam, crashed and went into not too many pieces, but it was seriously bent and very bruised. There went the satellite antennas, which were actually doing okay for a while until I put the pirate flag on top, and I neglected to account for the additional wind loading. So the satellite antennas came over. That was okay because we'd already made the contacts. And we had three easy ups, and they all wanted to do a Mary Poppins. About 7:30 Sunday morning, I looked around the site, and all of the operators were holding on to an easy up. There was nobody on the radio. And at 7:30 Sunday morning, we said, well, if we're not on the air, let's get out of here. And we did. We bailed about 12 hours, you know, with about 6 hours to go in the contest. We just couldn't stay up there. It was too much. It was blowing hard and blowing harder. And so I didn't really plan on having that much wind. So we made a hasty retreat down the hill. All of the stuff from the truck just got dumped in the entryway. And I could hear it screaming at me, don't ever take us up there on top of that mountain again. It did not want to be there. Fortunately, there are always ways of recovery. And this is a new five-element beam that I put together from the pieces of the two 6-meter beams that I had originally. Two crashed beams end up to make one surviving beam, and that will be... That will be the one for next year. And yeah, at this point, I can say wait till next year. Took me a month to even think about field day next year because it was too painful. But I'll be out there raising cane and having a good time. So that was the report of the N6 Hotel California aborted field day. Our score is terrible, but we're all speaking to each other, and everybody got off the hill safely. Without falling asleep or anything like that. It was a heck of an experience, and no more mountaintops for Chip.
Oh, I imagine you'll be going up on more mountaintops soon. What have you got there, Chip?
Well, this was one of my antennas. This was one of the satellite antennas that crashed, and it's a terrible tragedy, but, you know, a little work on the vise, and this poor thing will be back and ready to go to town making more contacts next year. But we got our five satellite contacts on the first pass, so no harm to the score, as bad as the score was anyway.
Oh, that is terrific. Now, Chip is going to stick around, so Amanda, if you can keep track of the chat room questions that we may have for famed DXer Chip Margelli, K7JA, and we'll be here to try and answer those questions. Any last words, Chip, for next year? And I hope there is a next year field day.
Oh, there will be a next year. I hope that things are back to normal so we can get some of the rules back somewhat to the normal. And we're just looking forward to it. All the broken pieces from this year are getting reconstituted into new antennas for next year. So we'll see how it goes. But I tell you one thing, the years are creeping up on me. I'm getting too old for this stuff.
Oh, never. But again, we encourage all of you listeners and viewers, when you're working with pals for field day, even though they're your best friends, mask up. We've got to stop this pandemic. So no matter where you are, even right here in the recording studio, wear your mask. Well, let's check out and see what ICOM America is doing, and then Chip and Gorda will be back a little later on in the show. ICOM America.
Get out and be active with ICOM's new IC705 and its optional multifunction backpack. The IC705 is your perfect QRP companion, as you have base station features and functionality at the tips of your fingers and a portable package covering HF 6 meters, 2 meters, and 70 centimeters. This compact rig weighs in at 1 kilo or just over 2 pounds. With RF direct sampling for most of the HF band and IF sampling for frequencies above 25 megahertz, 5-watt battery operation with BP272 or 10 watts with a 13.8-volt DC supply. Modes include single sideband, CW, AM, FM, as well as full D-Star functions, a large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, and live band scope with waterfall. Integrated GPS with antenna and GPS logger, micro SD card for data storage. It comes standard with the HM243 speaker microphone, and it supports QRP and QRPP operations. The perfect accessory for the IC705 is the LC192 optional backpack with a special compartment for your IC705 and room for accessories for soda activations or just a day in the park. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information about this and all the great ICOM radios.
And ICOM wants to remind you to register now for QSO Today's groundbreaking virtual Ham Expo. The expo will be filled with virtual exhibits and guest speakers, all from the convenience of your computer, tablet, or smartphone. Visit QSOTodayHamExpo.com to register. And as you know, here, a longstanding tradition, after each episode of Ham Nation, we want you to go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation and register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, you can learn how you might win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And just to prove to you why you might want to do that, well, we've got a lucky winner here. It's David Meeks, KN4VJR, from Farmville, North Carolina. He's our July winner of an ICOM ID4100A entry-level D-Star mobile with big rig features. But fear not, we've got another great radio coming up for August. It is the ICOM ID5100A, innovative 2-meter, 70-centimeter mobile with touchscreen. It's VHF, UHF, dual-band, dual-watch, D-Star transceiver. It's got a large intuitive touchscreen interface, simultaneous FM-FM, FM-DV, or DV-DV dual-watch receive, a built-in GPS, optional Bluetooth board is available. Now, there's downloadable Android apps. And it's got the DV and FM repeater list function built in, as well as an SD card slot for voice and data storage. It does DV fast data mode and much, much more. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation after this and each episode and register to win. Sign up. Good luck. And don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And let me tell you, you want that ID5100A if you can win it. It is a great rig. I've had one here in my mobile now for, I don't know, I've had it in there maybe a year now, and I thoroughly enjoy it. You know, whether you're doing D-Star or analog, it's still a great rig, easy to operate in the mobile. Tonight, we have a video here on Smoke and Solder. This comes from Randy and his crew at the Ham Club. They helped out someone with a special project here, and boy, it looks like the team really came together and did a good job on this one. So let's watch that now, and we'll be right back.
Good morning. This is Randy, K7AGE. I'm here with Andy,
November 7, Sierra Gulf Victor.
And also Deborah.
KI7, Whiskey Echo Golf.
Okay, so Andy is the Pelican Bay Amateur Radio Club's president. And Deborah is newly licensed. How long now?
I have all three licenses. I've had them for about a couple years.
So you have extra?
Yes, I do.
Oh, wow. Cool.
My radios have been, I've had them one for 2 years, one for 1 year. But my husband became ill, so we had to leave.
Oh, okay.
Andy has stepped in and is helping me get it together, and I am so excited. And I'm excited about you being here because I've looked at your videos.
Thank you.
So thank you.
So, Andy, what is the club doing today here?
Today, the club got together and we're building Deb's radio room. So, and when I say building her radio room, the husband did build the shelf. We got the desk in there. She's got two radios. We're going to be installing a Yaesu FT847 for VHF, UHF, and satellite. We're going to be installing an ICOM 7300 for HF today. We're going to be doing all the grounding. Each piece of equipment is going to be grounded. We're going to be popping the hole from the outside to the inside of the radio room to get all the coax cables and the grounding out. We're going to be installing a bus bar in the radio room. We're going to be dressing up two LMR 400s to support a Diamond 2 meter 440 antenna and to support a B&W NFET HF antenna. We're going to be installing a lightning box with polyphasers in it on a telephone pole. So today we've got a lot of work to do. It's going to be a lot of dress up and a lot of getting stuff all situated and make it look really good. And then next week we have a lift coming in, and the lift will get me up in the air on top of the pole. Okay. So I can hang the antennas.
Antennas. So we won't be quite radioactive today.
No.
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 Today is a lot of dress up, a lot of coaxial and grounding dress up today.
Uh-huh. You're going to have a really nice station that you can and use and live and work with for years and a lot to learn.
My retirement hobby.
Your retirement hobby. And also, is your husband a ham?
He is not.
He is not?
No, he is not. So, it's strictly my interest.
So how did you get interested in to becoming a ham?
Intellectually, it interests me. I don't know what else to say.
Okay.
I have no experience. Honey, we're filming. No experience, no background, like most of you all. So I come at a distinct disadvantage.
Well, there's lots
but I love it. I love it.
Uh-huh. You're great with the club.
Yeah.
And what's happening at 12?
Oh, at 12, my husband, Francisco is going to be presenting. You want to tell what you're presenting today for the group?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Hi, camera shy.
Oh, okay.
But I can do a little cooking.
Okay.
So we have a beef and chicken to grill, marinated for a couple of days. Mexican rice, Mexican beans, pico de gallo with some guacamole.
That's it? Nice.
Chips, tortillas. Oh, and for those who can't handle that, we have hamburgers and hot dogs.
Thank you, Francisco.
Thank you. So the club members are starting to arrive, and we got a busy day. So
yes.
We'll touch in with everybody who's working on the project and see how it's going.
Excellent.
So,
thanks, Randy. Thanks.
James, what are you doing here?
I'm putting a dual band, X510 HDM antenna together.
Okay.
And hopefully you might get it put up today, if not, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, it goes on that pole out there, so I think that's maybe next week, from what I understand. So.
Yeah, hopefully.
But getting it all assembled here.
Oh, cool. Yeah, my second one, so it's fairly easy.
Getting ready to cut the hole? That brave man to see if he finds any power lines in the wall.
Watch for the Romex.
Yeah.
Like this.
Oh, when he lights up.
I think you do the LMR 400 one round down in the LMR and just dress it up really nice.
All right.
So you can do your dress up. You start your dress up. You can do it like that. And this is the flex stuff. This isn't the hard LMR 400. This is DX Engineering's. It's equivalent to LMR 400 times. Same stuff. Basically same stuff. Connectors.
That's what I got.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I really like it. It's flexible. It's easy to work with. If you would open up these walls here, this is like here, and this is code. This is code. So when you're coming across over here and you're looking to pop your hole, you need to measure it and know that right here is a Romex. It's coming around here, and it's going to come all the way around, go in on an angle, so we have a drip, okay, no water comes in, and pop your hole.
All right, so here's the test hole. So far, so good. All right, now I'm going to put in the inclination.
Yeah.
Say that, that seems about right to me.
Sure.
We're going to put the whole saw on, put the hole for the PVC tubing.
Seem about right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Goes out to the ground rod, and we're bonding everything together with one 10-foot ground rod out there. We'll come in here, we'll tap this. Then what we do is we put a braid all the way underneath where all the radio equipment is going to come all the way around. Do not connect it together, or else you got yourself a nice hot loop, and each piece of equipment will come off of the ground to the braid, to the bus bar, out to the bonding ground rod. So everything in here and everything out there will be grounded.
Lynn's out here mounting the coax along the edge of the roof here. And then it will go from there and up that pole, which is where the antennas will be.
And he's snaking the ground braid through all the ties here.
If you do it correctly, it's going to go right through here, through one of these. You can put it in here, you can tighten the bastard down. This is a hot
plate. Okay, so that one being...
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to try to line it up as best I can for the second one. Okay.
These screws here are what goes in here on this plate. It and holds the plate.
And it just goes into the rails.
Right.
This
goes in. Okay. That's these.
One last one?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Yeah. It never got a full Monty.
Yeah.
That's a very convenient place.
7300 and the FT 847.
Correct.
You'll be all set.
She is one of two net controllers for Pelican Bandits Radio Club, so we are excited that we have some new, fresh blood as far as net controllers. So, yes, yeah, so we're excited to get Deb up and running here, to get her on the radio and let her loose and give her some training and... very excited about that.
Okay, so we have the 847 and the 7300 here. We got this older rotor control box holding up the shelf and a big power supply. We connected the radios directly to the power supply, and the smaller radios and accessories will go down here to this power pole rig runner. And what I just suggested to Deborah is to get a tabletop that goes from wall to wall, because over time you will fill it. Okay, the only thing left to do today is to seal up the conduit with some RTV, silicone. We got the radios in and powered up. So that's all for today. Next time we'll put up the antennas. Then we'll be radioactive.
I think the work crew's going to eat good here today.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah.
You know, that looks like a real worthwhile project, especially when you get to that last scene there and you've got the good food coming. But, you know, what a great deal there. You know, the club gets together, helps a ham get their station back on the air. And, wow, I enjoyed that. So thanks for sending us that, Randy. If you get the follow-up to it, let us have a look at that, too, and see how things turned out on it. Well, I did want to mention one thing here before we move on. Friday night, if you're looking for something to do, we'll be shooting the next episode of Ham College. Professor Thomas and Dean Martin will be presiding there. It's Friday night at 8 Central Time, 0100 UTC at live.amateurlogic.tv, and we're studying right now for the amateur radio VE questions. You know, there's a number of those on the exam for extra, and we'll be taking a look at those. So join us Friday night if, you know, if you want something to do and ham radio related, we always have a good time in there. Well, now it's time for the man who's got all the news that you need in ham radio, or at least the part that he's going to present to us tonight. You can get the whole story from Amateur Radio Newsline, the full podcast. But here's Don with tonight's Amateur Radio Newsline headlines.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2230, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, July 29th, 2020. Newsline anchor Stephen Kinford, N8WB, begins this week with the latest and most likely the biggest cancellation of an amateur radio event this year.
The Tokyo Ham Fair, scheduled to open on the 31st of October, has been canceled by the Japan Amateur Radio League, which cited precautions due to the coronavirus pandemic. Crowds at this major international event have run as high in some years as 60,000 attendees from around the world, topping Friedrichshafen in Germany and Dayton Hamvention in Ohio. The Tokyo Ham Fair has been an annual event since its first staging in 1977. Here's looking forward to Tokyo Ham Fair 2021.
A scaled-down communications exercise between the amateur radio community and members of the Military Auxiliary Radio System, or MARS, began on Monday, July 20th.
As Amateur Radio Newsline went to production, ham radio operators and MARS members were wrapping up an HF skills exercise that ran from Monday, July 20th to Friday, July 24th. Army MARS Program Manager Paul English, WD8DBY, told Newsline that tens of thousands of hams around the country were instructed to listen to WWVH and WWV twice a day for instructions on monitoring 60 meters. MARS members reached out on that band, seeking meteorological information around the various counties' traffic information, detailed reports about local utilities and outages, as well as any road closures. Paul told Newsline that 99% of the time, the ham's subsequent reports to MARS members were expected to contain simple factual information indicating everything was fine. MARS members were also communicating with hams in the Automatic Link Establishment and the Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network. He added, quote, "This is about practicing skills and procedures, not the information content. Even under non-emergency conditions," he said, "the partnership is necessary for MARS to be successful in its mission." For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Christian Kudnick, K0STH.
In the UK, perhaps one of the very few benefits to emerge out of the global crisis with COVID-19 is more hams.
Lockdown has been so favourable for amateur radio in the UK that at the latest count, in the last 3 months, more than 1,000 new licensees have taken their examinations online and passed, according to the Radio Society of Great Britain. As the number of licensed radio operators now begins to exceed 75,000, the RSGB is taking special pride in the newcomers who have worked hard for their achievement in spite of the restrictions of the pandemic. To celebrate their success and to inspire others, it has created a new webpage sharing their stories as part of the Society's campaign Get On The Air To Care. One of the newest foundation licensees is a 10-year-old boy living on England's northwest coast. You can find the link on the Society website at rsgb.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Stephen Kinford, N8WB, Christian Kudnick, K0STH, Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks at E5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
7-3, Don, and we will see you next time. Well, Amanda, have you got any questions in the chat room there with an excellent guest like Chip here? There's bound to be some questions.
Oh, man. Well, the first one, thanks for joining us, by the way, Chip. People consider us celebrities on this show, right, George? But I think Chip's a bigger celebrity than all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've had my picture in more post offices than just about anybody on this show. Front view, side view, and, you know, numbers down here is not my call sign.
Oh, I don't know. I'm kind of talking about this incident. You were invited on the Tonight Show. Is that correct? Back in 2005? You know, some of our newer viewers and newer licensees might not know anything about this. So tell us, how did you, and I can't remember who was with you, I apologize. Tell us how you got invited and what you did.
Well, it was Ken Miller, K6CTW. The producers of the Tonight Show were having, you know, weekly meetings about some of the things they were going to do. And they had this skit that was coming up that was going to do some silly competitions. And they had the number one peanut thrower, the guy that can nail a bag of peanuts right into the right person's hand, 14 seats down, versus the fishmonger from the Pike Place Market in Seattle that can nail a 20-pound coho salmon right into the hands of the butcher or something. I mean, this is great stuff. And one of the producers is a ham, or was a ham at the time in this group, and they had recently become aware of a competition that was done in Australia between a 94-year-old ham and his smart aleck 11 or 12-year-old granddaughter with her cell phone. And just she was really quite proud of how fast she could send a message. And one thing led to another, and they decided it would be kind of cool to do this. Their original idea was to use American Morse, clickety-clack, clickety-clack, like they used on the railroad. And unfortunately, finding two living, breathing souls on short notice that could do this, never mind several standard deviations of, is this going to work on the show without any pauses in the filming, this led them to do some inquiry about what it would take to get ham radio involved in this, and a couple of phone calls around the industry, and suddenly my phone started ringing. And the producer said, well, here's our predicament. And I thought about it for a second. I said, well, you know, I can provide two portable radios on batteries with backups completely off your grid, two Morse code sending devices, you know, we call them keys, you know, headphones and speakers if we need them, and probably even come up with period outfits. And there was this long silence, and the producer said, well, you know, this is Wednesday. We're shooting Friday. How can you do this? My response was, this is ham radio. It's what we do. And then there was another long silence, and he said, how about 11:30 Friday morning? And I go, for what? He says, well, for a limousine to pick you up so you can be on the Tonight Show. And I go, no, wait a minute. I told you what I could provide for you. And he says, no. You're the perfect guy for this. We've got the other fellow here. It turned out to be Ken, K6CTW, who actually is a clickety-clack Morse guy and a wonderful CW operator. And so one thing led to another, and off we went and did the show. And thank goodness the cameramen and camera women there at the Tonight Show were very capable, because they couldn't see the puddle I was leaving underneath that table. It wasn't the 11 million people watching the show. It wasn't the people in the band banging on the drums and everything. And it wasn't all the folks in the audience screaming and giving me QRM in the shack. But this was Friday afternoon, Friday the 13th, mind you. And the following week was Dayton Hamvention. And if I screw this up, just shoot me now, because I would never hear the end of it. That's what happened.
That's for sure. If you would have failed, Dayton would have roasted you big time.
Just shoot me down, bury me 10 feet deep, 12 feet better, so they can't find me.
So, and we have listeners that listen and they don't watch this, so I just want to make sure we mention Chip 1. He sent his message faster than a text message. Now, this was in 2005, so, you know, you had to sometimes triple hit those buttons, the numbers, to get the right letter. So it was a little bit slower back then.
Well,
but
bring it.
You guys did great. And I didn't see that video until probably 2010. I had no idea about this. People started putting it on Facebook and stuff like that, and that's where I saw it. And I thought, this is the coolest thing. Now I get to interview the guy that did it, this is even cooler. So, Chip, go ahead. Anything else you want to fill us in on? Did you get anything else from the show? Catering, all that good stuff? Was it a great time?
Oh, yeah. They had a nice barbecue out. They were having some special event out in the parking lot, which is, you know, strangely reminiscent of what we're doing these days, eating outside in parking lots. But it was great. Mr. Leno was very down to earth. Just completely straightforward, not full of himself at all. He knows he's the lucky guy among 10 million guys with a shtick, but he he managed to make it happen. And as many of you know, he never spent a penny of his earnings from The Tonight Show. He saved every penny of it. So he's a very down-to-earth guy and very, very personable. Enjoyed meeting with him and had a good day.
That it sounds like a fantastic time, and what an opportunity. That you should have retired from ham radio right then, because that was it.
I didn't know I was that old. But it was great fun, of course, then the following weekend at Dayton, because that was a big buzz. And, you know, everybody had a smile on their face when they came to our booth where I was working at the time. And, you know, nobody was belly aching about their broken Pfister valve or whatever it was. And so it was a very positive experience. And it was good for ham radio to remind everybody in ham radio that, you know, what we do is relevant. And when everything goes to pot, we've got little dots and dashes we can send that'll get the message across.
That's great. I do have to ask about the outfits. I take it the producers decided you guys would look excellent, looking like banker accountants.
Yeah, that was actually a funny aside to this whole thing, because once it was determined that this was going to happen, I had to set about to get my outfit. And so my wife, Janet, KL7MF, stopped by a costume shop nearby where she works on the way home and picked up the visor, the green visor that I wore. And then later that night, we went to a tuxedo shop. Now, this being the month of May, we're talking prom week kind of crowd. And so the poor staff there, they were in deep trouble. I mean, there were, you know, teenage girls that were crying their eyes out because their boyfriend's outfit didn't get done the proper size, and, you know, something, you know, his I don't know, his bow tie wasn't right, and they were just frazzled. The place looked like a war zone. There were clothing thrown everywhere. And we walked in there, and I walked up to the counter, and there's this vest that's hanging right by the check stand. And I go, that's interesting. And I tossed it on. There wasn't any tag on it indicating it had been sold. It fit perfectly. And so the gal came up and said, yeah, what do you want? I go, it's okay. It's very simple. I want to buy this vest. Okay, what else? No, just going to buy this vest. Nobody just wants to buy a vest this week. This is a war zone. Said, no, that's all I need. So she wrote me up. She said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I said, I realize it's been a rough week, but if you stay up late tomorrow night, this very vest that I am buying from you is going to be on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And she goes, yeah, right, buddy. Sign the credit card thing. And so, of course, a couple of weeks later, Mr. Leno was very kind afterwards, let us get our pictures taken with him. And so I made her a refrigerator magnet with the picture of the three of us on there, and walked in. She came out from the back room, and she stopped in her tracks, and she looked at me because, guys, here he is. I told you I sold that vest. Here he is. He's right here again. You know, because nobody believed her. They said the same thing. Yeah, right. You sold something that's going to be on The Tonight Show. So, yeah, it was pretty fun. We made it happen. It's ham radio. It's what we do.
It looks like it was an excellent time, and thanks for sharing that story. I think that a lot of people – me included, had no idea how you got on there or why, what, when, and where. So we appreciate that. All right, Chip, let's talk some real ham radio. Not that that wasn't real ham radio, by the way. But let's see. Oh, so KJ4CMY David says, please ask Chip if he still had fun at this field day despite all of your woes.
Well, it's like any field day, I suppose. On the whole, yeah, had a great time. You know, it's kind of tough when you're putting a competitive field day station together. And, you know, this group that we have with Bob AA6PW and Arnie N6 Hotel California and Dan N6MJ and myself, we're sort of the core of a very competitive group. And we're, you know, we try to win our division every year, or at least to have enough fun trying to where we don't care if we don't win. But yeah, on the whole, it was fun, but it you know, life lessons. It's all well and good to be on top of a mountain, but on top of a mountain is kind of a rough area. And you look at the antennas that are up there and they're all very ruggedized. Well, there's a reason for that. And it was great. It was beautiful at night, and the owls were singing at us and everything. But boy, when that whoosh started, it didn't stop. And I should have known 10 years ago, I did another operation from another mountaintop at about 9,100 feet. And we had 18 hours a day of 50 miles an hour or more. And I'm just glad I had big, heavy radios. Otherwise, my tent and everything with it would have done a Mary Poppins off into the valley by 29 Palms. So, yeah, mountaintops are great. But and I can't even describe to you what kind of furies we've had up in Wyoming with the WY7FD Field Day Group. We got blown off that mountain, too. So this was the third time I've been blown off a mountain. So I've had quite enough.
Oh, come on, Chip. I'm a Coloradoan. So our field day site is at 10,000 feet, and that's pretty low. So we have a great time up there. And the wind, it does pick up in the afternoons about 2 o'clock or so. It starts blowing until about 6 p.m. So right about the time you're ready to eat dinner, it kind of slows down. But I know what you're saying, and especially in Wyoming. So don't give up on those mountaintops.
And it's all dependent on pressure gradients and things like that. And we had changeable weather at that time, and that's all it takes to set it off. And it was really getting ugly up there. I mean, we were sitting there holding on to antennas as we were taking them down, and a dust devil came right through, and it just went whoosh, 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 and we go, uh-oh, I'm glad I'm holding something heavy.
And not only that, but it will usually come up right when the bands are open. So,
oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's the only time it's going to happen. Or, you know, the afternoon thunderstorms. Oh, 10 and 15 are open. Oh, hold my beer. Mother Nature is going to come in. That's field day for you. So give us your background a little bit more, Chip. When did you get into ham radio and why?
Well, I got into ham radio in 1963. And my, I don't know, my grandfather had an interest in it, although he was not a ham at the time. And my folks just were trying to encourage me to do sciencey things. And this was one of the things they knew about. My favorite playmate, from a block away, was the son of a ham. And so we would go out on 6 meter AM transmitter hunts. And, I early on was just interested in DXing. And so I got on and, you know, I made 4 DX contacts while I was a novice, but I was it was bottom of a sunspot cycle, and that was actually a pretty good result. And it went from there. In the mid 60s and late 60s, I got very seriously into contesting. And because of an affinity I had for East Asia, I adopted the use of the Japanese language when it was time to run the JA stations. And from W7RM up in the state of Washington, we had quite a few very successful years where we were running thousands and thousands of JA stations at high speed, because the good Japanese, although they study English for a lot of years, they feel a little bit uncomfortable about it. And all it took was somebody coming on in their language to make them more at ease and start the pile up. So I've been involved in contesting for many years, was a member of the participant in the first World Radio Sport Team Championship up in Seattle in 1990, and had a lot of fun winning sweepstakes for the nation a number of times, and won quite a few DX contests. None of it would have happened without without the boss operator, Janet KL7MF, over here. Hi, Janet.
Hi there.
We don't have to do We don't have to do the social distancing thing here. We get a room every night, so the cooties are already there.
Oh, boy.
Well, Janet, it's so nice for you to join in there with Chip. I take it, did Chip get you involved in ham radio?
No. We were both hams when we met. I've been a ham for almost 50 years myself.
That's amazing. And what got you into ham radio?
A dare.
A dare, yes. It was I was a studio engineer for an FM radio station, and my chief engineer was going to get a ham radio license, and he kind of dared me to do the same. So it went downhill from there.
And I don't have the first phone with radar like she does.
Well, that's amazing, and what an amazing career. Sorry, my dog wants to bark in the background. There's obviously a squirrel in our backyard. So are you just as active then? Do you do some DXing, or what do you do on the radio?
I don't. I'm not physically active on the air like Chip is, who's, I think, lives, eats, breathes, sleeps ham radio pretty much. But
mea culpa.
I'm certainly involved from a professional level, and I certainly get my digs in. Let's say.
Tremendous Saturday night operator on 20 phone on field day, besides everything else. And Janet was the first foreign YL to operate from the People's Republic of China after the revolution in 1984, when we were invited over there. Janet got on the air like all of us did, and we ran the pileups. And let me tell you, she was real popular for those folks getting their YL DXCC credits. She created quite a storm.
I did.
How amazing is that, that you were invited to operate from China? That doesn't happen very often. How did that happen?
Our company, I was working for Brand Y at the time, had sponsored a dozen branch stations of the Chinese Radio Sport Association as they were slowly reopening ham radio. These were club stations throughout the countryside, and they needed some getting up to speed, some training at the headquarters station, BY1PK in Beijing. And I listened to that station for many years. They were only allowed to work other communist bloc countries for a lot of years. But once the decision was made within the purview of the Chinese, the All China Sports Federation, that amateur radio should be reborn, they invited us over to help train the first group of supervisors at BY1PK, who in turn we were teaching the teachers basically. And it was quite an experience. We taught them about using old Johnson matchboxes, and got a couple of radios that weren't working, got them working again, and somehow in there got some time to get on and create a pileup. And you know, at the time the U.S. banned, well, it still is now, started at 14.150, and we called CQ on 14.145, which was legal for the Chinese. And the pileup stretched from 14.150 to 14.295, a continuous pileup of almost 150 kilohertz because nobody had worked China. And so it was very exciting and quite the challenge to run the pileup because it was a little gnarly at times.
I bet that was extremely frustrating. I can't even imagine. Oh,
not frustrating at all. Bring it.
And I don't know what the transmitters were like in 1984, and you said even older than that. So I'm guessing you didn't have this handy dandy little split button where you could tell people your. Did you? Okay.
Oh yeah, we had modern stuff. We had modern for the time, TS-940, FT-107 type radios, and so it was. We had good stuff. It's just that they needed some getting up to speed on everything, and one of the things I did was QRZW1s, QRZW2s, yes, band's not open. W3, W4, 14.150 to 14.295. So then, okay, we went, let's try the great state of Virginia. Worked a bunch of Virginia. Let's try the great state of North Carolina. And big pile up and said, okay, I want the Carolina DX Association only, and I have a roster. Well, I was lying. But apparently their repeater erupted, and I worked every station with a 14 AVQ and 50 watts in North Carolina because I made up a story that I had a roster of this club, and if you dared call out of order, you were going to get blacklisted. It was great fun, a great ruse.
Yeah. Very good. Well, Chip, thank you so much for joining us this evening. George, did you have any questions for Chip?
Oh, no. Not really. I'm just having a great time listening here. And, you know, some of these things I'd heard about, some I had not. I did not know about the thing there in the polyps with China. That is quite interesting. But, Chip, I hope we will see you again in Dayton, maybe next year. I don't know. We'll just have to see. But
yeah, well, sure hope so. Maybe I'll tell you some stories about Field Day from Cuba one of these days.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that'll
be interesting.
Oh,
that sounds exciting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Great fun.
Wow.
Well, one more thing you do have to tell us is, how'd you meet that other old man in that shack over there, Gordo?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you get on certain repeaters and these lids just start showing up, you know, and we ran in similar circles and, we had been going together with Gordo through the industry for many years before that, but, we invited Gordo and Susie to be on one of the DX cruises. We just run very parallel paths here in Southern California and in the ham radio industry for 3 decades.
So, and now you guys go to the beach every Thanksgiving, right?
You got it.
You got it. In fact, I just been refurbishing over the last week one of our beach antennas to have it all ready for November. The beauty of the beach is you don't worry too much about social distancing. The funny thing about the beach is there's nobody there.
Not on Thanksgiving.
Everybody's home. And so we're out there by our lonesomes. We could put 100 feet between each of us if we had to. But why would you want to? It's Thanksgiving.
That's right. That deep fried turkey, that would bring me out. Plus ham radio. That's all I had for questions, Chip. We're going to have to bring you on again. I think you have some great lifetime stories. So I really appreciate you joining us.
Oh,
thanks for Gordo bringing me on.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Gordo's a gem, and Gordo makes it happen in Southern California and throughout the nation with all of his work that he's done over the decades, getting people licensed and getting them on the air. If you could see Gordo's classes in an earlier day, I mean, he was directing a choir. He had people going da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and the horn would come out and everything else like this. I mean, it was almost like a circus, but people had to think on their feet so fast that they found the test to be a real breeze because he had just been pounding them, but in a fun way, and it was great to see him in action.
Way to go, Gordo. Thank you so much for all you do as well. George, before we wrap it up here, I'm just going to mention thank you to WTWW for having Ham Nation on part of their, they do a few ham radio shows, but I'd like to thank them for putting us on. I think it's Saturdays at 8 p.m. I couldn't tell you what time, Eastern or what.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's probably Central time. A lot of good ham radio content on Saturday nights on WTWW. It's a fun time. Let me just put it that way. We've got this guy that comes in and plays the organ as well.
That's right. I don't know if anyone knows who he is. Audience, maybe. Maybe Mr. Bob Heil. Yes, he does an awesome show every week.
Yeah. Well,
so, George, other than that, let me just go over the nets real quick. 14,268 for 20 meters and 71,92 for 40. And we have 14 Charlie for the D-Star net. They just started that up a few minutes ago. And DMR is on 31,012. So be sure to thank your net controls and also check in. Give them some counts. All right, George, back to you.
Okay, Amanda. Well, great show tonight. You know, we really didn't know exactly what was going on. I knew Gordo was going to be here. We didn't know about Chip, though. And great presentation there, guys. We enjoyed it thoroughly.
I had no idea. That wasn't in the doc or anything. I was like, is this a surprise guest? This is so exciting. So it was great. Thanks, Chip. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Please join us again next week for Ham Nation.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I am Ant Pruitt, host at Twit TV. Got a question for you. Have you gotten tired of how bad your photos are looking every time you post them to Instagram? Better yet, have you gotten yourself a new camera and you can't quite figure out why the images just don't look that good? Well, I have a solution for you. It's my show, Hands-On Photography. Each and every Thursday, I sit down and share different tips and tricks that are going to help make you a better photographer and a better post processor. So subscribe today at twit.tv/hop to learn more.